Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity once again today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives as usual. Obviously, we know that Republicans will be controlling the Senate come January. The only question really is how many seats they will have. Right now, it's locked in at 52, but it's still looking pretty good that it could be as high as 54 by the time all is said and done. The votes still to be counted in Alaska and the runoff in Louisiana. But there had been some thought that the Democrats would try to ram through a few things here in the lame duck session, knowing that it would be much harder to get them done once Republicans took control. But now it looks like one of the biggest things is going to wait. This is from Susan Crabtree at the Washington Examiner. The tide is turning, she writes, on the timing of the confirmation process for President Obama's nominee for Attorney General, likely pushing off a vote into the new year. Senate Democratic sources late last week started suggesting that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid could try to ram through her nomination during the lame duck while Democrats still control the majority. But that prospect is growing dimmer by the day as lame duck legislative priorities have piled up. Even though Senate Republicans are gearing up for a bruising battle in the nomination, Lynch's selection was viewed as far less controversial than other contenders for the top Justice Department post. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But what's interesting here, Andrew, is that part of this is due to the fact that they've got the continuing resolution debate and some other things they might want to work on. We'll see if the Democrats try to push some of these judicial nominations that are still in limbo. But one of the things that we've seen very publicly is Harry Reid's guys blaming President Obama for the midterm election losses, the White House not really taking much responsibility. So there, it looks like there's kind of some bad blood there, and we'll take it.
This is sort of the risk that the Democrats and the Obama administration took when they announced Eric Holder was going to be stepping down, and they kept pushing back when they were going to select the nominee for the Attorney General spot, and they were trying to be cautious with the midterms coming up, but they also wanted to see if they could squeeze it up in the lame duck session. But like you said, now they're squabbling. Senate Democrats, Harry Reid, the White House are all kind of bickering with one another on these different issues, and people have different priorities now, and it's such a small window that everyone's trying to get their priorities in as quickly as possible. And it just came back to bite them, sort of this approach of saying, well, maybe we can hold off to the midterms and get it our way. Worst case scenario, we can squeeze it in lame duck. But when you're in the minority, things change. and Democrats are finding that out the hard way.
Regular order looks to be the order of the day here. And we already have folks like John McCain saying at first blush he doesn't think she's going to have much of a problem being confirmed. Ultimately, she's got a fairly non-controversial record as a prosecutor, according to folks like Rudy Giuliani. She does have a couple of speeches out there that suggest that she would probably have Holder's same position on voter ID laws and other things related to civil rights issues. Another question, of course, she'll get hit in the face with is about the president's executive action, whether he's taken it at that point or not, on amnesty. So she's going to have a fun confirmation process, most of it, which could be completely avoidable if the president weren't getting too far down the road on some of these
things. Yeah, I mean, and that's part of it, too, is that a lot of this just feels that Republicans maybe shouldn't be taking too much credit for putting Democrats in this pickle because they kind of are shooting themselves in the foot with it. The Democrats are. President Obama's making it complicated with the executive order. They kind of, again, put themselves in this little timetable of when are we going to announce the nominee and when are we going to try and squeeze it in. Like you said, in a lot of ways, Republicans, you know, they should just take sort of what's being given to them because they're not having to work too hard to make things difficult for the Obama administration and Senate Democrats.
All right. Speaking of difficulties for Obama, it's been a rough week already, and it's only Tuesday on the Obamacare front. Yesterday, we talked about the architect of the plan, Jonathan Gruber, from 2013 in a video saying, yeah, we basically lied about the mandate being a tax. We lied about healthy people essentially paying for unhealthy people to have coverage. Oh, and we think that the American voters are stupid, and so that's why we had to skew everything during the buildup for Obamacare. Now the present facts on Obamacare aren't any better. This is from the Washington Times. The administration on Monday said fewer than 10 million Americans will enroll in Obamacare's health exchanges this go-around, well short of the 13 million target congressional scorekeepers deemed critical to its economics, suggesting another rocky rollout in the law's second year of operation. It goes on to say the number of enrollees is key because if too few take part in the exchanges, the pool of customers is too small, and it could skew the economics of Obamacare, forcing insurers to raise premiums and pushing even more people to forego coverage, choosing to pay the tax penalty instead. And so essentially, the more people who blink at the amount the premiums are going up, the more everybody else's premiums going up, and eventually you just don't have enough people to make it work. So the bad news is this could be imploding, but the good news is potentially here, Andrew, if the Republicans have an alternative ready to go, this could be perfect timing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first off, see, this is why we can't tell the American people about these laws, because then it's bad news for them. No. you know, then they just know the truth about it. It's bad news as far as the program is concerned and the cost and the people being affected by it. And so, I mean, and the Obama administration is acknowledging that. They're having to roll back their numbers. And numbers that, again, were crucial to its success and crucial to making it solvent. But like you said, there is an opening here for Republicans again. I mean, the last year, it wasn't just a one-time blip. It wasn't just glitches. It wasn't just one rocky website. They now have a year or two where the administration's acknowledging there are problems with this law. There are problems with the system, and people are going to be affected by it with another wave. And so, like you said, bad news is, it's more bad news that's going to be hurting people and hurting that element. But there is a window of opportunity here for Republicans, and people seem to be willing to listen and want Republicans to get another crack at it, as last Tuesday showed.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And this dovetails a little bit off the first martini, just the friction between the White House and congressional Democrats. And if you wonder why congressional Democrats, who had been so loyal to the president over the most of the first 6 years of his administration, are not exactly all that disciplined on message in the wake of these bad midterm elections for their party, MSNBC's Morning Joe show helping us understand why. Here's Joe Scarborough talking with Chuck Todd about just how little communication there is between not the president and Republicans, but the president and Democrats.
And it wasn't like 6 years in. It was like 2 months in from the most senior Democrats, senators, on the Hill. He never calls.
Right.
He never talks to us. You know, ask a lot of them a year later. They'll tell us, I've been here for a year. He's never invited me to the White House. We had one, you know, I actually had a senator, and it happens quite a few times where senators will call us. Say, what are you hearing over at the White House? What are they thinking on this bill?
Did you find otherwise?
And I'll go.
I've had those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's a stranger to his own.
There are a few people he did make relationships with. I mean, let's.
Who?
Well, the biggest one I think that was somebody he didn't know going in was his own Attorney General. And now, I mean,
yeah,
or whatever that's
called. No, what about on the Hill, though?
You know,
now, can you name one close ally he has on the Hill?
No.
What does he do all day, Andrew? I mean, he goes to these press conferences and berates Congress for not doing anything. He's not even urging his own party to get stuff done.
I like last week, you know, in his post-election press conference, when he sounded so willing to just grab some bourbon with Mitch McConnell. And I'm sure there was, you know, a line of Democrats saying, you know, we'll drink bourbon, we'll drink anything. Just have us over. Just let, you know, communicate with them. Let us know your thinking. But, you know, I'm also glad to see that at least someone's getting their news from MSNBC, even if it is some Democratic lawmakers. It's sort of been a bizarre narrative to the Obama administration this entire time that, you know, he's not a creature of politics. He doesn't like it. Whether he's above it, you know, sometimes how some people try and spin it. Like Joe Scarborough said, it sort of seems like from day one or just a couple months in, this was sort of the tone that President Obama, an approach that he was going to take towards Congress, whether it was his own party or the Republicans. And we're seeing how much it's paid off or lack thereof thus far. But I guess there's not much reason to think that, you know, in as a lame duck president with 2 years left, he's going to change all that much either.
I have a hard time seeing how he's going to get the high ground. You've got the Republicans in control. You've got Democrats who have basically given up on him at this point because they don't have the majority and he's extremely unpopular and they're frustrated with the way he's treated them. So I'm not sure how he's going to successfully paint the Republicans as the bad guys over the next 2 years. I mean, I'm sure Democrats will get back into line once the sting of the midterms is over, but I don't know that they're going to be able to reconstitute the message discipline that they had for the first 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the bully pulpit will be a little weaker. It won't be as bullying. We've seen some cracks already just in the past year, if you think about it. I mean, going back to the first martini, the attorney general's race, the president's priorities are no longer the priorities of the Senate. On immigration, you saw some Democrats kind of peeling away. Henry Cuellar in Texas. And on Obamacare, you've seen some Democrats, again, not full-throatedly. There were still midterms coming up. They were still being team players. But they were, you know, they were tiptoeing away. And then once the campaign season ramped up, they were stepping away for political reasons. And when it becomes increasingly less politically advantageous for them to be on the president's side, it's kind of hard, like you said, to see him taking the high ground.
Yeah. The media loves it when the moderate and the conservatives get at each other's throat in public. We'll see how much attention this gets, because it's, as we've said, it's gone on pretty much since the start of this administration. We're only now starting to hear about some of this frustration. You got dribs and drabs over the past few years, but never anything as sustained as we're seeing now. So get some popcorn.
Let's get ready.
Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And before we leave, a big thank you to all those who have worn the uniform and wear it today in defense of our great nation. Join us tomorrow on the next 3 Martini Lunch.